You are listening to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast with host Sean Castrina.
Now, I know you're going to learn something today because I got the tax goddess with me here today. She has saved her clients $750 million in taxes. I have Shauna Weckerlein with me here today. Shauna, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Oh, thanks so much, Sean. I have been so excited to speak with you.
Well, I'm excited because anybody who could save their clients that level of money can definitely help my entrepreneurs. And I have an in-house CPA. That's how serious I take this subject, where I think it's the biggest mistake small business owners make is Absolutely. They have a bookkeeper doing their stuff. Ooh. And the bookkeeper is always a family member.
Oh, even worse. It's a stake to the heart. You know, your taxes are your largest expense. So if you're not doing them right, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, I love it. But they're really good with QuickBooks. That's what you hear. But they're really good with QuickBooks.
And listen, you need a financial team. You need a bookkeeper. You need a CPA. But a tax strategist, there's not many people that even realize that that's a thing that they should have on their team.
Oh, absolutely. And I have a CPA in my office. And then I have the person who does my business taxes is a different person because there's a checks and balances there. And so I think it's a huge mistake that business owners tend to make is they get really frugal and they end up costing themselves so much money because there's so many strategies and advantages that you can take. Let's start with a young entrepreneur. They just started a business, just got it off the ground. Let's give them some tips.
Absolutely. So the very first one that I believe everyone should be asking their financial team. So whether it's your bookkeeper, your CPA, or your tax strategist, right? What is your aggression level? So this is a question that we've created for business owners to be asking their team. So 0 to 10, 0 meaning the IRS never calls, never ever, except for a random audit. Yeah. And 10 mean we're all going to jail. Where do you, my financial person, sit on that scale? Now, bookkeepers are generally going to answer, you know, a 1 or a 2, and that's fine. A good CPA, a tax preparer, is probably a 3 or a 4. But if you're an entrepreneur, most entrepreneurs in their heart of hearts are a 7, an 8. You know, they don't want to go to jail.
Let me give you my rule, Shauna.
Yeah.
You're seeing me on video. This is what I told my CPA. I am way too damn pretty to go to jail. So we look at that completely different based on clients' looks level. I'm way too attractive to be going to jail. So this is what I tell my client, my team. And I just tell them, listen, don't do anything that you can't defend.
Absolutely.
That's just my rule.
Absolutely.
If you're comfortable in an audit that you can defend it, then I'm fine with it. If you feel like it's in a gray area that you can't, it's funny, the guy who does my taxes, he's over top everybody. He owns like the biggest place here in my town. And he talks like kind of a Lincoln lawyer, real Southern, 3-piece suit where nobody's wearing them anymore, though they're coming back in style, in cowboy boots. And he's so funny. You know, he'll just kind of look at me and he goes, Sean, I think we're moving into that gray area that I'm not really fond of.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and you're 100% correct, right? If you as an entrepreneur are level 4, work with a team that's a level 4. If you are a level 8, work with a team that can go to that level 8, because the biggest mistake I make, and that's why I'm saying this for the young entrepreneurs, they go to the CPA in their town and they don't ask this question. Well, if you're a level 8 and the CPA is a level 2, you will never even hear about the other strategies that are a level 4, a level 5, right? So you really need to find the team that is aligned with what you feel and what you want, because that level 8 is, you might get an audit, but you have all the legal backup, the court cases, all the documentation. You can absolutely defend it. You're still legal. You just might get that call. So you really need your team to be aligned with what you want for your business and your life.
Okay, that was great. Let's give them one tax savings that they're probably missing that they need to bring up to the people that are doing their taxes.
Absolutely.
This is the young entrepreneur. This is the business that's 2 years and under.
2 years and under. Okay. The only one, or can I go?
Well, no, you can drop a few. That's why you're here. I'm excited.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. So there are two that I would say for a brand new baby business, right? 2 years and under. The first one is if you have children that are older than the age of 7, they need to be on the payroll. Like, no questions, no doubts, get them on the payroll. All right. The maximum you can pay each child changes every year, but this year it's about $20,000.
Which is a lot.
I mean, it's a lot.
So at a third tax bracket, give or take.
I'll tell you what, right? So if you can pay, if most people, one, two kids, right? That's a $40,000 deduction that if you're not taking advantage of, you are literally leaving money on the table for the government. Totally above board, totally legal. So if they're older than seven, get those kids on payroll. The second one, and this is my flat out personal favorite, I use it every year on every client. It's called the master's exemption. So you are allowed to rent out your home to anyone else for up to 14 days a year. And whatever that rental rate is not taxable in any way. Now, everybody always kind of pauses and says, well, I don't really want to rent out my home on Airbnb. You know, people are ripping copper out of the walls, right? I don't want to do that. Realize that your business, if you're set up properly, an LLC, a partnership, an S corp, a C corp, your business is a person in the eyes of the IRS, which means that you can rent your private home to your business for a mastermind or a networking event or a staff luncheon, something like that. Invite clients over for dinner, whatever it is, whatever the rental rate is, your business gets that as a deduction, but you get to keep the cash 100% tax-free. Now, the coolest thing about this, right? People are thinking,
now, you got to claim that as income on your personal side, though. That's my,
but this is where the exemption.
Okay, good. I know these little rules. So I got,
you know, the rules. I love it. You do have to give yourself a 1099, right? Because your business paid a person, but on the personal return, you get to use the master's exemption. So you report the $30,000 worth of income. And then you take the master's exemption minus $30,000. So the net taxable is zero.
So there's a master's exemption on the personal side.
Yes, sir.
And I are sitting down.
We're talking about this
one. Bob and I are sitting down.
And I wrote
that down. I love that.
Oh, I'm so happy. My favorite part about this is depending on where you live. Okay. So the smallest rental rate I've ever seen was about $400 per event. Times 14, that's still a chunk of money as a deduction. The largest I've ever seen was $17,500 per event. So if you have 17,000 times 14 events, you're looking at a $245,000 tax deduction every year that is 100% non-taxable, totally approved, totally above board.
Yeah, so just the money has to go from A to B. The key is
you got to move the cash.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we got to move the cash. See, it's good when you can do an interview. And I think I'm asking the questions that most people want to ask. Like,
absolutely.
You got to move the cash. You know, can you write this off on your personal? Because these are the things that are doing it. All right. But now you've helped people save, you know, about $750 million in taxes through your services. What bigger companies that are, you know, okay, we're over 20 employees.
Absolutely.
So we're starting to scale. We're really... You're using a word called a tax strategist, which I think is, I sense that's not by accident. So are you recommending that, okay, they have it, their local CPA, but you have a strategist that works with that CPA or just makes recommendations? Like, you know, people tend to step on each other's toes and then one of them throws the other one under the bus.
And this is where you've got to have a team. Right. And it's true in any industry, right? You have your lawyer, you have your insurance person, you have your trust and estate attorney, right? And they all do different things. A CPA and a tax strategist do very different things. Your CPA's job, and I'm thrilled to hear, Sean, that your CPA is giving you some advice. We normally don't hear that. To be very honest, people go to their CPAs and say, I don't want to pay this much in tax. What do I do? CPA says, buy another car, fund your 401k. That's it. That's the end of tax strategy. So when you're looking at a CPA, according to Google, there are 660,000 CPAs in the US. They do all sorts of things, right? They're auditors, CFOs, they're tax preparers, whatever it is. As a tax preparer, your CPA's job is to prepare the tax return correctly, according to the rules, to make sure you don't go to jail. That's their job, right? With a tax strategist, there's only 60,000 in the US that have masters in taxation. 607 that are specialized, they're called CTC, Certified Tax Coaches. They specialize in tax strategy. And 15 that do certified CTS, certified tax strategists, right?
And I noticed next to your name, you have all these. She has a lot of letters next to her name. It looks like the alphabet.
Oh, I'll get the alphabet. I'll tell you what. But yeah, so the job of a good tax strategist, which is what I am, right, is to work with your CPA, right? I don't really want to file your tax return. I really don't. We can, but I really don't want to. What I want to do is talk to you, the client, bring you the strategies, give you, we look at about 400 strategies for every business, right? So we just went over two of them, and those are the little easy, basic level zero ones, right? And so, as you said, a company that gets bigger, when you have 20, 50, 100 employees, you're making millions of dollars in gross, what kinds of strategies? And they're different, just depending on the size of the company. So the relationship between the tax strategist and the CPA needs to be one where they work together, which is why we don't do tax returns. I don't want to step on your toes. That's not why I'm here, right? The job is to bring the strategies. And of course, to educate your CPA. Because me, myself, I'm ex-KPMG, I'm trained to be a level 8 on that aggression scale. If your CPA is a 2, how do we bring them to a 4? Like, how do we educate your CPA to be okay and to know all the background rules?
No, I think it's fantastic. Okay, my business guy, you know, he or girl who owns a business, let's give that 20 employees and more a couple couple tax strategies that they can bring to their CPA and just go, oh, by the way, I heard I might be able to do this.
Absolutely. So one of my favorite ones is called an 831B program. Now, you've got to be really careful with this, okay? Because
this is at level 8?
This is the level 8. There's actually two versions of it. One is a level 4 and one is a level 7-8. Okay. So, and then there's one that's totally bad. Okay. So when you look up an 831B, what does that stand for? That's the IRS code for a captive insurance company. Okay. Now, on the IRS's current Dirty Dozen list, you're going to see captive insurance, right? So this is where you get the different versions and the third one that'll get you thrown in jail. So really what you're looking at here, a captive insurance company insures things that are not standardly covered by your regular insurance, State Farm, Farmers, whoever.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what did we just see in 2020? COVID hit, businesses lost millions of dollars. One of my favorite examples, I've got someone that caters for the Major League Baseball teams. He lost $600,000 in food spoilage because that was March and everything got shut down. He had just bought all of his food. He went to his normal insurance company and they said, sorry, act of God, we're not paying you for that. To a business, that's a lot of money, right? Yeah,
no question.
He went to his 831B program and they said, absolutely, you have a policy that covers acts of God, and wrote him a check for $600,000 completely tax-free. So an 831B, as you get bigger and you start to have more enterprise risk management issues, right? Key employees that might leave, acts of God that might impact you, these kinds of things. Having a proper and good 831B is a fantastic strategy.
Now, when you say it's 831, I'm confused. Is this 831? Is this the insurance company I'm hiring, or is this the strategy? Or you know, the 831B is having. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this is kind of like the Lloyd's of London.
This is the Lloyd's of London. Now, the cool part about it is when you set up this insurance company, it's your insurance company. You're not calling Lloyd's of London. You are setting up your own insurance company. So the best part about this whole strategy. You take money out of your operating business, you put it into the 831B. If something happens, I mean, heaven forbid, we don't want things to happen, but if something happens, you have money, okay? And if it doesn't, after a year and a day, that money is you own the insurance company, it's your money 100%, completely tax-free for any purpose that you want it for.
Wait, this is getting crazy. Sean, I was just saying this to my partners. I don't know if this applies to this, but we want to call it our, I can't make you happy client, you know, that wants to be happy and you can't. And because if you're really big and you have really good reviews and all that, you have to basically pay them off.
Yeah.
It's reality. If not, they file a claim against your license. And by the time you defend yourself, we just did one, took like a year and a half. We won, but it was like literally it was
the only absolute, people that get paid are the attorneys.
Right. So, it was an absolute prostate exam. And I said to my partners, we do millions. And I'm like, why don't we put like $50,000 away in a fund, and it's just designed to put problems away.
We're this.
Mr. Donald Trump would call it his Stormy Daniels fund. I'm not. I want to be clear there. I'm calling it my customer that I can't make happy. You know, I can't make, no matter. I just had one recently. We had to redo part of the job because I'm like, and my partner's like, why are you doing this? I said, because I know how this ends.
Yes.
This is a year and a half of a prostate exam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an $8,000 check.
Just fix it. Just pay it.
Exactly. And as I say, you don't have a problem if you can afford to pay it. You have an inconvenience.
I love it. So yes, that is the perfect use for an 831B. That is literally what this is, right? We call it the war chest. You never know what battle is in your direction, right?
Wow, this was worth the whole interview for the war chest. Because you're mentioning stuff that I think's legit because it happens. Example, the guys rear end somebody. Okay, one of our company vehicles. And, you know, you got Erie Insurance, which are very, you know, very in the great prices, but you know, like any insurance, they frown upon so many accidents. And sometimes you know you're at that, I'm better off just paying this $3,700 is whatever it is. It's like, I can't make this claim.
Yep. Yep.
You know, you have workers' comp sometimes where you send the person to MedExpress, send on the Med Express, their family doctor, and you know, it's over in 2 weeks, but you didn't file the claim to keep your rates down. I mean, this is real life. So I want the audience to hear that there's a lot of reasons why you would have a war chest.
Absolutely. And what I love about it, I mean, as we both said, hopefully it never happens, but hope is not a strategy. Yeah. This is a strategy you can implement. And listen, all the money is in there. It's totally protected and safe. It's a C Corp. You are in control of the investments inside the entity. So with some of my clients, they just put it in the S&P 500 and let it grow.
Drop it in an index fund. So if let's say I put $50,000 in there, okay? And I didn't use it this year.
Okay.
It would stay in there. And then I put another $50,000 in. Let's say we're 10 years from now, and there's $500,000 in that fund.
Yep.
That is the property of that insurance company. And I am the founder of it. So I have... And so wait, when I file my tax return on the example, now I'm going the other side of it. I have to file the tax return on the insurance company, the war fund. And I say I receive $50,000.
Yes. But that's not taxable income to an insurance company.
Oh, it's not?
An insurance company. No, they have to have reserves. Because what if they have to pay out?
I was hoping that was the answer, but I'd have learned to ask the questions that every 12-year-old listening to my show might ask. I always joke that if a 12-year-old can't understand it, their host should not be talking about it. I genuinely believe that most people think about middle school level.
I agree. And I think it's important for a CPA, for a strategist, for anyone to be able to describe it at that level. Because if you can't, you don't know what you're saying.
I do. I tell every one of my clients, I go, I will send you the simplest contract because a 12-year-old, I would want my children to be able to mediate this between us. Literally say, no, dad, it says your company would do this.
And so do it.
Exactly. So that's why I use that. So 100%. To my audience who might get offended over anything, that was the reason for that. I have Shauna Weckerliner with me here today. More importantly, she's the tax goddess. Shauna, where can they connect with you? If they didn't just listen to you and realize that you got some really good advice, shame on them. They're not listening really hard. So how can they connect with you?
Easiest place to find me is taxgoddess.com. That's the website. We do have, of course, YouTube and Instagram and all those things. But if you're looking to talk to me and the team, that's the place to find us.
Shame on you if you don't reach out. She just gave you so many good things today. I wrote it down. I got my master's exemption right there. I'm renting out my house. I have the 831B, set up my captive insurance, my war chest. I'm taking notes. You need to be taking notes as well. This podcast is brought to you by Gig Strategic, which was the parent company of, let me say that again. Gig Strategic, the parent company of Get Started Marketing. That's a new for me. So I apologize for that little confusion. Gig Strategic is who markets my companies. Okay. GIG Strategic. They handle the marketing of my companies. The first year that I hired them, we had over 30% increase in revenue in 2018. They're unbelievable. And thus I partnered with their lead person. And now I want to, in full disclosure, I am one of the partners in the company. So gigstrategic.com. Thank you so much for listening. And we will talk again soon.